America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 9 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
Doing well, Taryn. I was just telling you guys, and now I'll tell the rest of the pod, that I'm very glad that they had the house meeting prior to the roundtable rather than waiting till we're in the middle of it to have it. So, exciting day.
Exciting day indeed. Also joining us tonight is Phil. How you doing, Phil?
What's going on, Taryn? I'm always glad to be here, and I'm just very sad that we might be losing Victoria this week, because just as from what we've seen today, she's just giving us like everything that we want, just all the entertainment. She's giving out all the drama. It's a blast, and I'm excited to talk about everything that happened this week and especially today.
Yeah, there's quite a lot to talk about here this week, so we will get straight into it. But what we are going to do here is we're going to go over the week in the feeds. We're going to talk about the state of the house. We're going to try to project into the future, and then we're going to go through each player individually and give them a rating out of 10. And then that will inform the prices that they get for their stocks. And then that will inform the stock watch game, which we'll talk about later. But before we do that, let's talk about the week on the feeds. The last time we spoke, Austin was on the block next to Brayden. It was looking pretty good for Austin to go home. Now, Ro did campaign and try to keep her around, but it did not work out very well. And really, the only other thing that happened since the podcast and the end of that week was that Ro and Brayden did eventually realize that Vic was the invisible HOH. She screwed up a couple of times, especially regarding the votes. And they were able to deduce that she was the one that screwed them, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Victoria is kind of, you know, loose links sink ships, obviously. And I think she's kind of bad at, you know, keeping her story straight with everyone in the house. You know, there was a couple times where she said she like talked about the amount of competitions she won. And then she realized, oh, wait, I said I won one more competition than I should have, which, come on, Victoria, like how many, you won one other competition, like you really had to. I think she did a pretty poor job of hiding all of this. And of course, everyone already knew that she won HOH. So I think going into this week, her game was kind of laid out. And especially with everything that played out, unfortunately, it's Victoria's week to go.
Yeah. Melissa, how have you been feeling overall about the feeds this week?
You know, I'm actually like, I'm very, very, very torn because on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, go Beth. Like, I'm very excited that Beth's finally, like, you know, coming out from beneath the guy's shadow and really proving to us that, at least to me, proving to me that she does have the capability to be a game player. And, you know, because I kind of wasn't sure if it was just like, oh, she's just a tag along for the boys, or if she actually wants to play her own game. And now I feel like we were able to see that she, number one, does want to play her own game. And number two, that she's willing to make big moves. I mean, she's not just going to shy away from the, I mean, this could have been an easy week for her and just get out someone small, not a big deal, but she's going for it. And I'm very impressed with her. And so I'm very excited about that. And on the same time, like on the other hand, I'm very upset to be losing Victoria. I love her. I think she's so entertaining. I think she brings something to the game. And she's so unpredictable that you really don't know what's going to happen from week to week. I mean, one week she's allies with this person. The next week she totally turns on them and just throws them under the bus. And now she's allies with these people. And I just feel like we're going to miss that. And it's one of those things where it's like, I agree with Beth that she needs to get Victoria out. Like, that's a good move for her game. And I want Beth to do well. So I'm like, yeah, go for it. Let's get Victoria out. But at the same time, I'm like, whoa, get Victoria out. Wait, oh, no. I don't want that. So now I don't know what I want to happen this week. I'm kind of like going back and forth as to whether I want some sort of flip to happen or if I want Victoria to go. And so it's been exciting, but it's been very confusing for me.
I'm wondering if this is actually the right ending to Vic's story, because I feel like she was already sort of petering out last week, the invisible HOH week, probably the worst week of the season so far. She was kind of doing, I think, too much to help the guys, and people were starting to be like, she's just taking out all the women. Is she just kind of like trying to cozy up to the guys? And I feel like going out in a blaze of glory by the very people she was throwing her game away to work for is kind of the perfect ending for Vic to come back again in a second season. So I feel like I'm at peace with it, Phil.
Yeah, I think Victoria is totally this perfect pocket player ideally, she's this perfect player you can kind of just like put in your pocket, you know, tell her what to do. She'll be loyal. But Victoria is seemingly, I mean, obviously not that player at all, you know, but you can tell Victoria one thing and she'll totally believe you one day. And then the next day, you know, she'll totally tell something different to someone else. Like, and so it's obvious that you just can't trust Victoria. You can't keep Victoria, which is just unfortunate because, yeah, I love watching her play. But yeah, I wish that it was able to. I don't know. Yeah, so good. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Beth is going to win the next HOH. Jed says that he threw it to her, which may end up being the biggest mistake he makes in the game. Although, no, that's impossible. They should have voted to get Ro out over Josh. But Beth wins this HOH, and her initial thoughts are that she would like Ro and Tara on the block. She tells the cameras that Tara would be her target. Tara does nothing for her game, and she would like to keep Ro around to go after the guys for her because she knows she can't go to the end with them. So she instead wants to go to the end with Tina and Brayden. That's her ideal final three. At this point in time, at least, she has not done one of these camera talks since that first morning of her HOH. I do not know where her head is at right now, other than the fact that she is starting to believe that she can beat the guys, which is making me wonder if she does want to protect the guys now. However, this is where her head was at initially, Ro and Tara, with Tara as the target here, Melissa.
Yeah, which I feel like that makes sense, but I do think that, because I do think that Ro, And impressively, I think that Ro and Brayden as well are willing, now that they've lost their number one allies, they're willing to just like go with the flow and work with whoever, including each other, even though Ro had campaigned to get Brayden out to keep Austin and, you know, vice versa. So I think that like, I like that. And this is a very like old school kind of Big Brother thing that you don't see very often, which is that like, you don't hold it against people necessarily if they vote you out because they had to vote you out, or because like at that point in time, you leaving would be better for their game. But now everyone recognizes that like you guys only have each other at this point. So you got to work together. And I think that that has really impressed me this week with Brayden and Ro. And to be honest, I think that impresses me with Beth. She's in a different situation, but I do like the fact that Beth is like, okay, I'm going to need allies here other than these guys. And I hadn't seen that before from her. And so I am impressed with a lot of the players in this game being like, look, I wasn't working with you before. In fact, I may have been actively working against you, but at this point in time, we need to work together. And so I've been enjoying that this week. Yeah. I don't think that answered your question at all, but it is something to say.
I think this season is just the ultimate proof that like a shorter cast is, or a smaller cast is always going to be better than the bigger cast.
everyone needs to be small, short people. That's just the way it's got to be.
Exactly. A much smaller cast is always much better, because now we're just starting Jury, and people are already starting to actually think for themselves. You know, when you have a bigger cast of 16 or 17, there's a bigger herd mentality where you kind of think for the group for so much longer. And by the time, it's not until you get to like final seven where players actually start really, really thinking for themselves. But here we are at the final nine, and players are already kind of mapping out where they need to be in order to make it to the end game. Yeah, I think if this was a bigger cast, you know, Beth would have been aligning with Jed and Ty for much, much longer than I think than now we kind of are seeing. And she's already kind of like the cogs are already working in her head. She's already trying to figure out, all right, I can't go to the end with both of these guys. I need to figure out a way for me to win, which I'm just absolutely loving. And I hope they just continue the shorter cast going forward, and maybe even in Big Brother US too, because I think it's just working out great.
Yeah, I think if I'm trying to get into Beth's head, the psychology of Beth, I think that she recognizes, I think all the things she's saying are true about her position and how she doesn't want to go to the end with the guys. However, I do think there is a large part of her personally that still would not want to betray the guys and still does want to go to the end with the guys. I think we saw that conflict in that week between Josh and Roe when she decides she does not want to do the flip because then she wouldn't be able to hang out with them. And I think we're seeing it now as well. Over the course of this week, she has gone back and forth. And I think that what is happening is that these two conflicting interests, she's trying to meld them together if she can. She's trying to convince herself that the right move for her is also the right move for the guys. And that's where this back and forth is coming from within Beth herself, where she's talking about going after Vic. She's talking about going after Tara initially, right? But she's constantly finding herself second guessing and sort of conceding to what the guys want. And I think that's because in her mind, she's able to convince herself, well, maybe this is the right move. Maybe I don't have to do the hard thing. Maybe I can just do the easy thing and it'll still work out. And I think that conflict is driving so much of the indecisiveness within Beth, at least.
So I have a quick question. I might just be thinking of a different conversation that Beth had with herself, or a different like pep talk or whatever.
Just have these conversations with myself, Melissa? That was from today.
Yes, this today, which we'll get into, but today was out of control, I think, and from my perspective. I don't know. It just like I felt like there was too much talk about nothing. But anyway, my question is that when I saw Beth talking about beating the guys, my thought was that she wasn't saying she would beat them in the end. I mean, maybe I'm misremembering this, but my thought was that she was saying, like, I'm a better player than them. I can beat them. Like generally, not like, oh, well, when we get to the end, I'll get more votes. Like my thought was like, oh, she knows, she thinks she's a better player than them and that she can find a way to get them out prior to the end. Like that she doesn't need to worry about them necessarily. Not that she thought that if she goes to the end with them, she'll beat them.
It's certainly possible. I think that I noticed a change in how she's speaking about the guys, in the sense that she used to say, I can't beat them. And now she's saying, I can beat them. Which implies that she feels more confident that she can beat them in the end. I think she's still willing to especially let Ty kind of take a hit. But I think she's a little more willing to let them stick around a lot longer as well. But I don't know. It's going to be hard to say for sure.
Yeah, I feel like Beth, this is classic me. It's like read into somebody what I hope is going on here. Like it's like with Christy or whatever. But like, yeah. I honestly, from my thought is that she wants to keep the guys around as long as possible, but knows that she is going to need to get them out prior to the end. And her saying like, I know I'm better than these guys. I know I can beat these guys. From my perspective is like, okay, well, now that like people like Roe or Brayden or whoever is telling her like, hey, we're willing to take a shot, like we can help you with that. I think she's taking that in mind. Like, I can beat them. I have people here who want to help me get them out, but I don't want to get them out yet. Because I don't think it's the right move for her to get them out yet anyway. There's still too many people. I think that she needs to wait a bit, because I do think that, like, she has such a good relationship with them that I don't think they're necessarily thinking, like, we need to get Beth out. So it doesn't make sense for her to try and get them out now. I think it makes sense for her to get out a couple more people and then use, like, keep Ro and Brayden in as her, like, you know, parachute, I guess. Have them help her take them out.
So Dolores actually makes a good point in the chat, which is that not only did she say she feels she can beat the guys, she does not think she can beat Ro, which again implies to me that she's talking about jury votes, that she couldn't beat Ro in a jury vote, but she could beat the guys in a jury vote. And I am inclined to believe, especially given the fact that she eventually concedes to targeting Ro and how much she's talked about targeting Ro since then, that she is actually trying to get Ro out right now, because she is worried that he can beat all of them.
Yeah, I
don't think that makes any sense for her game to get Ro out. I think that she should be trying to keep Ro around and Brayden around. Like, I think she should have the two guys on one side and then the other two guys on the other side, and use those four people to go after each other and have her just sitting in the middle. Like,
well, keep in mind that she still feels like she feels like she kind of has Brayden. She also feels like she kind of has Tina. And those are the two that she would prefer to bring down to the end. She does not want Ro down near the end. She would prefer Tina and Brayden because she feels they are the easiest to beat, or at least that's what she did prefer. But now that she's kind of feeling herself, I think she's thinking that she has a bit more of a shot against more people.
Yeah, I think she definitely gives herself way more social credit than she actually has. Some house guests do kind of give her a little bit of credit, but I do think that she thinks, like, I have all these people that are going to be able to take out Jed and Ty. So I don't even think Beth is, as of right now, I don't think Beth is, like, really, like, considering, like, if I win an HOH after the double, I'm totally going to take out Ty. I don't really see that being the case. I definitely see it as, like, I know that probably Jed or Ty are going to go home before me. So I think that was kind of, at least when I read that, it was kind of, that's how she thought of, like, she's going to be able to beat Jed or Ty, just in terms of, like, they're going to be able to go home before me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I also think, like, I don't think it's a good move for her to bring Ro to the end, like, at all. I think it's like, you got to bring him just far enough that he wins a comp and gets rid of one of the guys, and then get him out. Like, it should not be a situation where you go to the end with Ro. Like, I think that's a bad move for her. I think going to the end with those guys is a bad move for her. So I think she needs to use them soon to go after each other, to get at least, like, two of them out, and then, you know, move forward from there with other people. But I just think that, like, I think her going to the end with either the two guys or Ro, like, would be a bad move for her.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me that I had to guess what Beth's plans are for the future, it would be very much that she is hoping that Ro leaves next week. And then I think she wants probably Kiefer out. That's kind of the last thing she's been saying. And then she would probably try to hope at that point that a shot gets taken at the guys. I don't know if she'd be willing to do it herself, but she'd probably hope that Brayden, Tina or Tara took that shot, and then she would maybe try to get to the end with Jed and Tina, or Jed and Brayden, or Tina and Brayden, given different, you know, scenarios, right? But that I think is her plan, and I will say I do think that the way that I interpreted her talking is that she does now feel like she can beat the guys in the end, jury wise, mostly because you know, that's kind of especially what Tina has been sort of like propping her up to be, like, oh, and Jed has said it too, like, oh, you're going to be able to beat me now. And Tina's like, oh, this is such a great move in the end. Anyone that takes out Vic is going to be able to win a jury vote. You're going to get so much respect. And so I think that she is feeling a lot more confident about, again, the people that she is capable of taking to the end. And in part because of that, she feels like Ro is one of the few people that can beat her in the end. And Ro needs to go. She needs to row his boat.
I think that's so, I don't know. Like, I think Ro is such the perfect meat shield to keep around at this point in the game, because I think obviously Roe is going to be target number one for the rest of his game. I don't really see that. Like if things keep going the way they're going, which is like, you know, if a Kiefer keeps winning an HOH, if a Beth or a Jet or a Ty, obviously I think Roe's, you know, he's going to be target number one, but I also don't see Roe as the player who can really, like, he's won three vetoes, but I don't know if Roe's going to be able to actually comp it to the end. So I think you should keep him around for a little bit longer, at least try, you know, keep him around, because I think he's always going to be the target in everyone else's mind. And I think Roe's also going to be able to do the dirty work that Beth needs her to.
I think as long as she's able to keep Roe on board, I think the issue is that Roe, being the kind of player he is, Roe is not going to, for as grateful as Roe might be toward Beth that she didn't take the shot at him this week, and he will keep her off the block in the coming weeks. He's got the both of the Jed and Ty to deal with and Kiefer to deal with. He's got plenty of people to deal with before Beth. But Roe will definitely go with Brayden, Tina, and Tara over Beth in the same way that Beth would go with them over Roe. And the problem is that Tina, Tara, and Brayden, I think, would all choose Roe over Beth. And they would not go after Roe. They would all be going after the guys, and some of them might even put Beth on the block as a replacement or a pawn next to them. So I do think that there is some concern there with Roe, especially with how she's been handling some of the HOH reign since the move has been made. But we'll get to all of it here. So what's going to happen here is that initially, again, the target is Tara, but Tina and Tara are going to drop some information about Vic and how Vic had been saying to them that Tara was a target of Beth's, and that Beth had been saying things about Tara like she didn't deserve to be there. And using that information, they're able to convince Beth via Jed that Victoria is coming for Beth, trying to actively get Beth targeted. This is the information that Beth needs in order to pull the trigger on the idea that she should backdoor Vic. However, Jed and Ty are going to push back and say, no, Roe needs to go. They do not agree with the Vic backdoor. That is not good for their games. And Beth says, well, it is good for my game. And they kind of reach a little bit of a stalemate. So Beth goes to Brayden and Roe to try to find more information and different ways that she can convince the guys to let her backdoor Vic. She gets from Roe a promise that he will not go after the guys if he stays, and from Brayden some information that Vic has actually even said Beth and Jed as two potential nominees. However, this still does not convince the guys, and they are still at a stalemate when Roe and Tara go on the block. Finally, after endless back and forth, Tina ends up convincing Ty to throw the veto, that he could be willing to throw the veto and let the Vic backdoor happen. But when he offers to throw the veto to Beth, she goes, nah, I do think Roe should go. And it seems like that might be the end of the Vic backdoor plan, except Roe then wins the veto and forces it back into play anyway. What a disaster, Phil.
I mean, it worked out for Beth. I think this, a lot of this has to do with how good of players, you know, like Brayden is. Brayden's really good at, you know, snowing these people and trying to get these people, you know, to, you know, go align with what he wants. And same thing with like Tina. You know, Tina's also very good at, you know, kind of, you know, snowing these people and letting them like seem complacent and letting Beth know that Victoria's been talking about her. And so I think a lot of this is, I give a lot of credit to Tina and I give a lot of credit to Brayden on this. And I think Beth, this is the smarter move for Beth, but I think a lot of this is just because of whatever the other house guests were telling her.
I think part of it also is like Beth, at least it seems that possibly Beth was thinking that she'd be like, okay, like let's do this Victoria backdoor, and everyone would be like, oh man, that's such a great move. We have to do it. What a great idea. Let's all be on board and do this. And then when she got like a little bit of pushback, she was like, oh, okay, wait. So we're not all on board with this, because I don't want this to just be like a me plan and everyone else has to go along with it and then use it against me later. Like, I could see her kind of backing off of it in that way when she doesn't get the full, so like, yes, support that she thought that she might get. And so I think she's kind of being a little wishy-washy on it, just because she's like, I don't want it to be my decision. I want it to be like, everyone decided this. And I just like, I like instigated it and I pulled the trigger, but you know, everyone else was on board. And I think that that's part of the problem, is she's not getting that full support. And so she's like, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. Right. Wait, should we do it? Wait, what do you think?
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that she wants this to be her big move, her big selling point to the jury. But before making it and since making it, she has been doing everything in her power to be like, this wasn't me. I didn't do this. Mm-hmm. And that might not matter. She'll still get credit for it. But she's not getting the good credit for it necessarily in the house while she's playing. And she may not get as much good credit for it in the end, if it seems like she was manipulated into doing it by people mm-hmm. like Tina. They think Tina, Tara and Ro are the main contributors here. And again, to be fair, Tina probably is the main instigator of making this happen, but it took Beth being willing to make a self-interested play and using the true information that she got from Tina and Tara to actually make the play. And I was most impressed with Beth at the start of this week, the fact that mm-hmm. she was willing to do this. But over the course of the week, I became less and less impressed with the direction that she was going. I still think that she has made the correct move for her game, even though she is still, to this moment, still double questioning her decision and potentially going back on it now that it's far too late. But I think that if she had been more decisive and played this better, she could be in a much, much more crushing position. At the start of this week, I told Kevin Martin, I was like, hey, I think Beth could be the front runner to win this game. If she pulls this move off correctly, and she has kind of pulled it off.
She's pulled it off, but not necessarily correctly.
Yeah. So it's an interesting place to look at Beth here.
If you're going to make a big move, like, sorry to interrupt, but you're going to make a big move, you have to just do it. Like, you have to just commit to it 100% and be like, look, this is best for my game. Like, this is, I have to just do this and just go with me on it. And that's how you pull it off. Otherwise, if you're going back and forth, if you're being a little bit like, well, should we do it? Should we not do it? I don't know. It, number one, takes away from any sort of credibility you have and any sort of like power you have moving forward. And then it also just kind of makes you look like a wishy-washy player. Like, you, I wouldn't know whether to trust you. You could be also pissing off more than one person because, okay, so Victoria knows that now she's on the block. It's possibly a back door, blah, blah, blah. And she's upset. Then if you're like, oh, well, actually my target was Ro, then Ro's upset. Then you're like, well, actually, maybe we should just vote out Tara. Then Tara's upset. It's like it just pisses more people off. If you have one person, just pick a target and just be like, look, the whole time I've been trying to get out Victoria, you guys that are on the block, or Ro and Tara, whatever, like, you guys are not the target. Don't worry, I'm not coming after you. I'm going after one person, and this is the move. And just like, end it there, because otherwise it creates more chaos and more problems and doesn't make you look good.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I do think, though, that like, at the end of the day, a move is a move is a move still. And if she makes it to the end, and if she's still like, no one in the house thinks that Beth is like an idiot. No one's saying like, oh, we totally got Beth. Like, we bamboozled her. Like, you know, Beth is still going to be able to say, I did take out Victoria. Sure, the like decision was a little bit easier since, you know, Rowan actually was not an option on the board anymore. But still, she's still going to be able to say, I took out Victoria. Regardless, people helped her out, nudged her in the position for sure. But again, it was her decision. It was her. She had the power, and she's going to still be able to say that. So ultimately, yeah, this is a good move, but she could have made her position a lot stronger.
Yes. And I think that, like, you know, how we're talking about the move is influenced by what we've seen recently. If we had done this podcast a few days ago, then it would have been like, what a move by Beth. But right now we're just kind of like, I mean, great move by Beth, but what is she doing right now? But still, I mean, it'll reflect, at least in my rating, that she has still definitely improved her position here in the house by a decent margin. So Vic is going to go up as the replacement nominee after being given a heads up by production in the diary room, which she tells them that she did. And then the whole house gets punished for it.
They immediately are like, don't talk about production. Like, the second she says it, and then they give them all the bananas. It's like, okay, you guys are being really obvious that you tipped her off. Like, if she had just said that and been like, yeah, no, it was very confusing. I got asked a question that, you know, seemed like was pointing in that direction, and then production didn't do anything about it, it'd be like, well, did she hear it from someone else? Maybe she's just blaming production. Like, we don't know. The second production does that, it looks so guilty. It's just like, what are you doing?
And then that night they air an episode where they have, like, just completely fabricated events to make it look like Brayden orchestrated the Vic backdoor, mm-hmm. which was just, and it was just like, what are they doing? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so, this has to be so much work, so much more work to create these fake storylines instead of just giving us the real thing.
It was so strange because I had been watching feeds and updates and everything this week, but I missed Monday's episode and like yesterday. So I was like, today, okay, cool. Like, before the podcast, I'm going to watch Monday's episode just so I know like what was covered and want to see what happened. And I was like, did I have feeds all wrong this week? Like, I'm so confused. Like, did Brayden really do this? I was like, going to go back and start looking at stuff again, cause I was like, I missed a whole storyline. Like, I missed that Brayden and Ro were orchestrating this and that Brayden was working behind everyone's back. Like, what the heck is going on here? It's good to hear that that was wrong, because I thought, like, I must have been so wrong after seeing that. I was like, I really got this week wrong.
Yeah, we've always known that BB Can plays favorites, but Monday was just a whirlwind of evidence.
Oh my God. Yeah. Not good.
I had to go back and check my notes. Yeah. I guess they're definitely just setting up Brayden as like a great, you know, as someone who might be able to, you know, tell the story
with Vic having one foot out the door, they were like, all right, who are we going to prop up next? I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has a whole sort of thing planned where she pleads to the guys that, hey, I was always working for you. I wouldn't want to work with anyone else. They're not cool enough. I want to be with the cool, hot people. That's you guys. I've always been doing your work for you. And yes, I've said some things, but it was just to get information. You know, it's not, and she lies about saying, that she wanted to fling the bag over the railing. A couple of other things that are, again, verifiably, lies. But she denies the general sort of accusations that she was actually going against them. Admits to the general accusations. The end of this is that Jed, Ty, and Beth still want her gone, but they would like her to call a house meeting to get some of this out in the air, out in the open. Beth really wants Tara to not feel safe this week. She should be in the hot seat.
Yeah, I just feel like that doesn't make any sense. It's like, just let Tara sit, like, let Tara not be worried, so that way she's not upset with you. If you're making her feel uncomfortable and like she might be going out the door, like, that makes her feel uncomfortable with you as HOH. Like, you as HOH, when you've told her she's safe, should let her feel safe. Like, if the true intention is to make her, is to have her be safe this week, then just let her feel that. She doesn't need to be on the hot seat. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
She's been saying to Tina, like, I'm so grateful to Beth. If she really, you know, does this and Vic leaves, then I don't want to put her up. Mm-hmm. But when you encourage Vic to call a house meeting and then back Vic up every time Vic asks you a question and put the heat on Tara, and then openly contemplate, should we vote out Tara? Brayden, should we vote out Tara? Kiefer, that's going to get back to her, and she's no longer going to feel indebted to you in any way. You want her to feel like, yeah, I protected you. You are indebted to me. You've got me. I've got you. And instead, she's like, why do you feel so safe? I could evict you, you know? I'm thinking about it.
That's so bad.
It's literally, it's like, so that's bad. That's how you misuse the HOH. The HOH, is supposed to have, like, one clear target that they, and make everyone else feel, oh, yeah, no, you're so good with me. You're good with me. I'm just taking out this one person. But everyone else, you're all my ally. You're all my friend. Nobody is safe. I can take out anybody at any point. Like, it doesn't make any sense in the world to do that at all. But I guess, and that is the flaw in Beth's HOH for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like you only need one person to not feel safe, and that's the person you're trying to get out. And if it falls through, it doesn't work, and they stick around, like, well, it didn't work. But, like, at least you only have one person then, rather than everyone in the house being like, who knows what'll happen if Beth is HOH again? Like, you don't want that. That's terrible.
Yeah. So the house meeting does happen, and Vic is going to, I mean, this lasts a good, what, like, 40 minutes. And it takes place in the hot tub, the outside hot tub area, and
it was like a show. It was like everyone was sitting as like an audience member, and then like Vic is like across the way.
Vic is sitting up on the hot tub. They're all in like the couches, and of course Beth, even positioning, Beth is sitting next to Vic. And anytime Vic goes over to Beth, like, is this true, Beth? She'll be like, yes. Really, I just really thought that was like, what are you guys like? Why? And at various points, Vic would be like, Ty, Jed, Beth, did I ever say Ro's name? And they're all like, no, you never did. And like, just again, back, which they're lying for her. They admitted after, they're lying for her in this house meeting. And at in the same breath, having conversations afterward. Yeah, we're still taking her out.
Like, well, then just like, why are you trying to defend her? Like, what are you doing? Like, if you're going to take her out, you're going to take her out. Just tell her, look, like, I'm sorry we have to do this, but, you know, it's best for our game to just like send you out the door. Sorry. Like, they don't need to make all this drama. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
In house meetings like this, you know, the person who's always like winning is the person who has their mouth shut. And so usually, you know, usually if this was just if Jed and Ty and Beth were a little bit of better players, this would have been a perfect house meeting for them because everyone was airing everything out and Jed, Beth and Ty were kind of just sitting there with their mouth shut. But instead, it's all Jed, Beth and Ty were still, yeah, like you guys were saying, just backing up Victoria. Like, and they kept at, like, they did not need to say anything, and like, I think everyone in the house meeting was kind of doing a poor job, and I think Jed, Beth and Ty totally could have walked away from this beautifully, but of course I don't know what they're thinking or what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense.
Honestly, like, all they could have, like, okay, yes, ideally they all stay quiet, but like, if someone directly is like, okay, well, what did you remember about this? Did I or did I not say this to you? Like, if someone directly confronts you about it, like, just say, like, look, like, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. Like, I'm not getting involved. Or try and find some, like, sneaky way to get out of the answering that question. Because otherwise, you're being implicated. I mean, you're backing her up.
And I mean, honestly, like, if Vic asks you, did I say Ro's name? And she did. Just be like, no, yeah, you did, Vic. Like, yeah, she's the one on the block.
Especially because she's the one who's going home.
Yeah, you hold her life in your hands. She can't do anything to you. And you're sending her home.
It's so dumb. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
For a second, I was thinking, oh, maybe they're just trying to, like, win over Victoria's jury vote. Like, maybe they're trying to make her feel good when she goes out the door. But they're still the ones. Like, they are the ones taking her out of the door. Like, it is Beth's HOH. Like, Victoria is not going to feel good regardless. So I don't even think it's that at all. I don't understand the logic whatsoever. They're not doing it for a jury vote. They're just doing it just to, I guess, make Tara scared, make her more paranoid, but it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Plus, like, making Vic look good in this situation is not a good idea. They should be trying to make her look bad so that way they can justify, like, look, like, this is why we have to take you out. Like, we're really sorry. We like you as a person, but like, look at what's going on here. You're lying. You're doing this and that. Like, all these people want you out. Like, we're just doing what the house wants now at this point. So we got to take you out. Like, yeah, that's the way you change it.
And they talked to her afterward and they were like, we completely agreed with everything you said. You were totally in the right. Which is,
but
like,
we're taking you out.
Exactly. It's like, which it's like, if you're only making it worse on yourself when you do vote her out. I was like, and I kept saying, like if they still, like, this is such a huge mistake if they still plan on evicting her. Maybe they've changed their minds. No, they haven't changed their minds. They're just
One thing is, like, okay, I could see them being like backing her up and trying to, like, you be on her side and all this sort of stuff if they plan on keeping her, because then that makes sense. Then you want her to look good. You want to tell her that, like, reassure her, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what's going on. Like, and to be fair, like, honestly, like, I don't think anybody came off in a good way in this house meeting. Like, I don't think any of the people who were arguing or talking or screaming came off well. And I mean, look, to be fair, if I get worked up and someone's like telling me I didn't say something, I might get like loud and like, what the heck is going on? You know, but like, I was sitting there like judging everyone during the meeting. And then I was like, you know, I cannot say that I wouldn't be acting just like everyone here. So, you know, to be fair, that's, you know, could be me. But as an outsider looking in who is free to judge, I will say that they all came across very poorly. I mean, they're like yelling at like the top of their lungs, like about like bags and like random stuff and like who deserves to be there. And like all this stuff doesn't matter. Like, I love how Tina kept being like, why do we keep talking about the bag?
Yeah.
Like that stupid bag conversation. It's like, nobody cares. It doesn't matter what anyone said about a bag. Like, we're talking about the game. We're talking about like who is coming after who was saying someone's name, who was throwing someone under the bus. Like, that's the stuff that matters. It doesn't matter if, number one, you say that the person doesn't deserve to be there because whatever, who cares? It doesn't even matter about if you say that you're going to throw the bag down the hall or throw the bag over the railing. Like, it just, none of it makes any sense. I think the whole thing was stupid and I don't think we got anything out of it. Besides, I guess, entertainment, but even that is like, I'm not super entertained by like yelling. I feel like the way you win one of these house meetings is, number one, you're not called out and you're quiet and you're just observing and gathering information. That's one way you win. Number two, if you are called out, you act super, super calm and like just totally stoic and deny or make your case. And I think that that's the way people are convinced that you are telling the truth, is if you're calm about it. And I feel like the more worked up you get, the more people are going to be like, okay, this looks really bad for you. Like this, you look like you're, you know, off your rocker. You look like you're guilty. Like, I don't know if I can trust you. And I feel like in this situation, they both came off that way. I think Tara and Victoria both came off that way. And I don't think anyone came off in a good light after this.
Yeah, that's I've been giving this sort of like the strategic look at this, right? Like, I don't know what Beth was doing. I mean, Vic is Vic. Tara was doing a decent job of defending herself, but that was actually not necessarily the best route to go in terms of making sure that she was safe on the block. Ro made a lot of very questionable decisions that I think actually might benefit him, which was that he lied about campaigning for Austin. Everyone knows that he's lying about it. Now, the good part about that is that it makes it look like he's scared of Brayden knowing that he campaigned against him, when in reality, Brayden doesn't care. But it did make him seem like a massive liar. And now they don't trust him even more, but they were already planning on going against him anyway, so it doesn't really matter there. Strategically, that's sort of my rant about the confrontation, which is just incredulity, and I can't believe these players are doing this. Entertainingly, this was amazing. This was one of my favorite blowups I've ever seen, and that's because even though there was a lot of yelling, it was very little of it was personal. This was game, exactly. Yelling argument with people that were just passionate about the game, so much so that they were screaming at each other. And it was fantastic. I mean, Vic's performance, from anger to tears to like I'm so loyal to, I'm so hurt to, I can't believe you guys did this to me, to, well, of course you did this to me, to, what am I having conversations by myself? No. it was great. I loved this film.
Yeah, I mean, with Victoria, that is the kind of, like, Victoria, obviously, I mean, yeah, like you said, Vic's gonna Vic. But I do think that if you are gonna defend yourself, like, Victoria does kind of do it in the right way, where she's passionate, you know? It's like, how could you not, like, in a sense, like, how could you not believe her if she's really, like, just yelling all these things? Like, you just want to give her a hug. You just want to be like, it's gonna be okay, you know? Totally just, like, observing human level, I really just loved it. And especially with the bag thing, I thought the bag was so interesting because, you know, I think Kiefer said, like, it's not really about the bag. It's not about the bag, but because everyone in the house is in one room together, like, when everyone in the house is in one room together, they're never, ever talking about game. They're always talking about, you know, what, like, you know, random stuff, whatever else is going on. But so, of course, the bag is just kind of, it's a code because they can't, like, they're not comfortable with just, like, all talking about game when everyone in the house is in the same room together. So the bag is kind of like a way to kind of talk about the game without actually talking about it, which I just thought that was really, really fascinating.
The bag was what Vic was using to distract from any things that she couldn't, like, I've got plenty of highlights. Tomorrow's morning update will be great. I'm excited to go over this whole thing. One of my favorite parts was Tara calling Vic out on a very true thing that happened, which is that Vic went to Tara and said that Beth thinks you don't deserve to be here. And Tara goes, did you not tell me? That's the only thing I said to Beth. And Beth said, that is kind of what this is about. That's what talked me into this. And Tara's like, did you not have that conversation with me? And Vic's response is, I don't remember having that conversation with you. Like, full on, I don't recall. And Tara refuses to drop it throughout the entire argument. It comes back to it and back to it and back to it. And then eventually she goes, did you or did you not tell me that Beth said that I don't deserve to be here? And Vic's like, well, you don't deserve to be here. Yes, maybe I did say that, but you know what? You don't deserve to be here.
She's like, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm going to say it right now. It's so bad. I mean, good, but bad. Like, I just feel like everyone left that conversation just like, oh my God. I feel like, I don't know. I just, it... they talked in so many circles and to be fair, like, by the end, I was like, who is lying? Like, I don't even know what's happening here. Like, I don't even know who's telling the truth.
Literally, and so, every single person.
Exactly. Everyone there is lying. So you're just like, okay, I really don't know even who to believe.
Except
or who to
for
trust.
Tina. And nope. Tina was the only person that didn't lie. Yeah.
Tina didn't lie.
She barely spoke is the thing.
Yeah. Right.
So she, because Tina's very careful, and Tina has this reputation as, like, she's not a liar. It's very Cliff-esque in that way, that, like, everyone talks about Blue Line. Blue Line wouldn't lie. We can trust Blue Line's word. And she was very much like, hey, I do not call me a liar. And she admitted to what she did, but stayed quiet mostly. Brayden was also pretty quiet, but he did chime in a few times and lied. I mean, not that lying is a bad thing. I did like Brayden's performance in this as well. But all of them were lying. Ro was lying about the campaigning thing. Tara was lying about who her real targets are. Beth, Ched, and Ty were lying about various Vic things. Vic was lying about most things. And Kiefer lied about a few things as well in regards to Vic and different conversations. But they were all and there was like Rose, like, she, Vic was swearing on her dead parents and boyfriend again. And Tara's like, yeah, you did that when you promised to not put Ty on the block. Look how that turned out. And she's like, did I put Ty on the block? No.
It's so, yeah. Oh my God.
For me, I guess the person who came across the worst, like obviously besides like Vic, was for me, I think it was just Ro, just because I just don't know what he was doing. I don't know. Like he kept like I feel like half of the fight, like the first half of the whole house meeting was kind of just Ro and Vic going at it like, with each other. And I feel like Ro kept on like poking and like provoking Vic, even though he really didn't have, like he could have just stopped answering her altogether. And I feel like Victoria just kept on spewing out more and more things about like that Ro was trying to say to her last week. And I just felt like I felt like Ro should have just totally shut it down rather than keep going, because the more he kept going, the more Vic was just kind of outing whatever he was doing. And I just thought it was a total mess. Like, of course, you know, Jed, Beth, and Ty don't trust Ro anyway. Like, especially Jed and Ty, they didn't trust Ro anyways. So it's not like it totally ruined Ro's game, but it just like it made it as clear as day that Ro was not going to be working. Like it just made it clear as day that Ro was not a trustworthy person in the house, especially for Jed and Ty. So I just really, really don't know what he was thinking there. He could have just, he should have just kept his mouth shut.
Plus, like, if you're safe, like, I don't feel like you should be inserting yourself at this point. Like, unless you're specifically called out, like, then I guess you can respond. But it's like, if you have two other people that are arguing with each other, like, just let them have at it. Unless you're implicated in it or you're brought in somehow, like, then you can respond and protect yourself. But I think otherwise, like, just let everyone else handle it, especially if you're not on the block. Like, just sit back. And it doesn't make sense to get right on in there if you don't need to.
Yeah. And I talked about this morning, but like the last thing you want if you're Ro is to allow there to be visible conflict between you and Vic when you know that you're already a target, because that just provides incentive for the other side to keep Vic in the game so that she'll come for you. So if it looks like you don't have anything against Vic and like Vic comes for you, like what Ro wants to do if he's playing smart, right, is make peace with Vic and be like, hey guys, I kind of want Vic to stay. I think, you know, Vic and I have worked out our differences, and I think it would be great if she stayed in the house. That would send Ty, Jed, and Beth running in the other direction. They'd be like, well, we clearly can't keep Vic in the game. Mm-hmm. And that would be the right way to go about it. But by fighting and defending himself, he's actually giving them incentive to keep her around. Not that it matters, because at the end of the day, they just don't trust her. And it continues to go back and forth. But at the end of every conversation, it always ends in, nah, she has to go. She has to go. She has to go. So that's where it stands right now. But that does not mean that it couldn't change by the end of the week. It's going to have to start happening soon, because the first step is convincing Jed and Ty. Jed and Ty have not been convinced yet. The second step is Jed and Ty helping convince Beth, who is also not convinced yet. The third step is Jed, Beth, and Ty convincing Kiefer, who is not convinced yet. Then Vic can stay. And because she hasn't even gotten the first step down yet, it's going to be a tough road to make all three happen by Thursday night, if it doesn't start happening soon. So, we'll have to see where this goes, Phil.
Yeah, I also just think that the optics of taking out Tara for your HOH is just not that great. Especially if you go to the end and you say, oh, I won HOH and I took out Tara, who everyone like is definitely respected the least. And of course, everyone's like, Victoria was saying like, oh, she doesn't deserve, or Beth was saying she doesn't deserve to be here. And Victoria later said that. And it's kind of what I think what everyone is thinking a little bit. And so because of that, I feel like if she did waste or not, if she used her HOH to take out Tara, it just probably wouldn't look good, just because it might just feel like a waste, you know?
Yeah. And you know, this, I you have to give credit to Tina and Kiefer, who were the ones really pushing this narrative to Beth, that she needs to make a huge move for her game and that Tara would be such a waste. Vic would be such a great, great move for her own resume. That seems to be one of the big sticking points with Beth that has kept her on track. So let's talk about the state of the house here. State of the house in the game right now. You've got the triangle, Jed, Ty, and Beth. And they've kind of got Vic, but they're getting rid of her. So that's kind of an awkward position there in the state of the house. They've also kind of got Kiefer, but they're also kind of talking about targeting Kiefer soon. So another weird placement there. Kiefer also talking about putting Jed on the block. And then maybe after Ro leaves, he's got maybe aims to break them up as well. So not really fully on their side. You then have the oddball remnants. The oddballs have been outed. The name has been outed. Vic not only denied making this, like creating the name oddballs, but made fun of it. As if I'd create such a dumb name. Because when Vic lies, it's got to be as over the top as possible.
I love her.
And so the oddball remnants, Ro, Brayden, Tina, and Tara, all still working together to take out the triangle. Now, with this move, they have eased off of Beth for now, but we'll see how much that sticks given all of the indecisiveness. And then you have the pre-90s, who are still kind of going strong, still in probably one of the better positions in the house, except for the fact that Tara still could go home this week. And that, of course, is Tina, Tara, and Kiefer. And that's basically the state of the house. And really what you have here is Jed, Ty, and Kiefer are all going to be targeting Ro in the following HOH, in this next coming HOH. Ro, Brayden, Tina, and Tara will all be targeting Jed and Ty. Some of them may put up Beth as a replacement. Some of them may put up Kiefer as the replacement. But either way, the target would be Jed or Ty, and whichever one of them did not win the veto would probably go home. If both of them stayed up on the block, it's looking like Jed will go home as of right now. So looking at this double eviction, it's going to be difficult to see anybody but Ro, Jed, or Ty going home. It's maybe a small chance of a Brayden or a Tara, depending on, you know, who ends up on the block. Maybe much more likely a Tara than a Brayden. But it just depends on like what happens with the veto and who's the HOH. And Kiefer wouldn't put Tara on the block Kiefer would put up Ro. If Ro won the veto, then he would replace him with Brayden. Brayden would probably go home there. But if Kiefer goes for the back door, Jed could go home. And, you know, maybe Kiefer pulls the trigger on Jed, but probably not before Ro is out of the game. So the Kiefer HOH in particular is kind of a tricky one. But for the most part, we're looking at Ro, Jed, or Ty going home on a double eviction, Melissa. You are muted.
Sorry, the church bells were going off next door and I was trying to be polite. Anyway, that's disappointing to me, to be honest. I really don't want to see Jed, Ty, or Ro go during the double eviction. To be honest, my hope full situation, if we have to lose Victoria first, is then to have Tara go in the double. That, like, if we're gonna lose Vic, like, let's just lose Tara and keep everyone else. That's my hope. But yeah, I mean, it does seem likely that it's gonna be one of those three. But you know, honestly, like, I feel like a lot of double evictions lately, or maybe this is just my mind, but I do feel like a lot of double evictions lately have been like kind of like womp womp, like it's kind of just like, okay, like some random person goes out and it's not really a big deal, and it's just like I could see a Tara leaving in this scenario, so we'll see. But yeah, hope it's not one of the three guys.
I really think that, you know, the pre-90, you know, Tina, Tara, and Kiefer need to win an HOH soon. Maybe not for the double, but definitely soon, just looking at the state of the house, because I do think that, you know, especially Tina and Tara are definitely two people who for the most part in the beginning of the game have just been playing in the middle, and they've been playing that successfully. Everyone kind of knows they're playing in the middle, but now again, like I was saying, just because of this is a shorter season, like the time is now. They got to put the pedal to the metal. They can't keep not winning HOHs and kind of trying to play the middle, because they need to take out Jed Ty or Beth. They just need to do that like ASAP, or their days are going to be numbered and their game might be over soon. I really think that should be their number one incentive right now. And I'm just not, it's definitely like Kiefer wants to win an HOH, but I just don't know if that's still at the forefront of Tina's mind right now, which is
Tina's been like, we need to freaking win this thing. Like she's very upset that they haven't won yet. And she wants them to start winning because she basically gave the speech you just gave at the start of this week. She was like, we need to start winning these because we're about to lose this game. Now, luckily, they kind of pulled a rabbit out of the hat this week with the Vic situation. And so they're really getting a full second chance here in the coming week. I mean, all that said, it's still probably better for their games that Ro or Brayden win the HOH and do it for them, but they have to try to go for it anyway, and they know that. That's where we stand here with the game. Are we ready for the Stockwatch?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's bring it up. So this is what we do here on the roundtable. We go through every player and we give them a rating from 1 to 10. 10 being the best. They're doing about as well as they can in this game. Top tier gameplay. They're very likely to win the game. To a 1, which is they're doing really terribly. They couldn't be playing worse, they could theoretically. They can always be playing worse, but they're playing very, very poorly, about as worse as it gets, and basically have no chance, no shot to win this game. And then we go through every single player. And then the ratings will inform the prices in the Stockwatch game that we play. So let's start with Beth. Interesting one to start on this week. She is the HOH. She has made a move. I gave Beth a 5 last week. And this week I have gone up on Beth. I gave her a 6 this week. At the start of this week, I was like, I think Beth is getting a 7. She's pulling this off. Over the course of the week, she's done a few things that have disappointed me. I feel like her position is not quite as solid as it was before or could have been. And I'm less convinced that her long-term plans are as solid as I thought they were before. So in the end, it's going to be a 6. I still think this was a great move for her game. I think that she went from somebody, I was at a 5 just based on the fact that like maybe she could someday become a player who did something like this. The fact that she did it solidifies a 6 for me. If she hadn't done it, if she had done this week and gone with the Terra move or gone with the Ro move, I would have moved her down because I really feel like her win equity was going to be shooting down every single week since last week that she didn't make a move like this, but she has made the move. She's gone up to 6, and that's how I feel about her. Phil,
yeah,
what do you think?
Wow. But fine.
Wow. Okay. Well, sorry, Phil. Melissa would like to go next.
Sorry, but I just was going to say, like, I totally agree with what you said, and I think we've kind of covered this, but like, yeah, I give her a 6 as well. I mean, she was a 4 for me before, and I'm honestly very impressed with her this week. Yes, it's kind of gotten a little wobbly as the week has progressed, but the fact that the move is still planning on happening, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But at this point, it seems like the move is going to go through. That is great for her. I mean, she needed to get Vic out. Seemingly, Vic's plan all along is to just get with the two guys. And align with them. And if she has to take out LaToya and then she has to take out Beth, that's fine. Just get those girls out of there so that she can align with Jed and Ty. And I feel like that's really dangerous for Beth. I feel like the fact that Jed and Ty are like in good with Victoria and Victoria is in good with them, but Beth does not fit in that equation is bad. So the fact that Beth is going after Victoria, getting Victoria out, yes, there's some shaky stuff, but it still gives her a 6 in my book.
Let me also just quickly say, if by the end of this week, Beth ends up breaking a tie and keeping Vic, then I'm officially declaring this rating null and void. She doesn't deserve it.
She gets the paddle.
Yes. But I don't think that's going to happen. So, Phil, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, that's been so frustrating, especially with this week, is just that I feel like I still never have a full grasp. Like I obviously, like, they're taking out Victoria this week, but I can just never like go to bed calmly and softly, knowing that that's 100% the case. You know what I mean? There's still like a small percentage of my brain that's going, wait a minute, something else could happen. They could totally flip and take out, they could take out Tara anyways. Like, so because of that, and just because I feel like if she just took out Victoria, just straight up, like we were saying before, I would be more aligned with you guys, maybe in 6 or even like 7 territory. But I just think that the way she's played, and especially just watching today, maybe it's just because of today, but just watching her and today and yesterday with Tara, and just wanting to make Tara paranoid for no real game reason, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's just leaving a really bad taste in my mouth. She's leaving a bad taste in Victoria's mouth. She's leaving a bad taste in Tara's mouth. I'm going to stick with the 5 for now, for me, for Beth, just because I just feel like this could have been so much of an easier week for her, or so much of a better week for her, but it's her own accord, and she's still kind of messing it up a little bit. She's making the right move, but she's not making it like 100%. She's not doing it 100% perfectly. It's because that's a 5 for me.
Yes. And I think that's fair. I think that she still has a road ahead of her. And she's been making that road harder. So I could see this going down for me as well. And I will say, Phil, the audience agrees with you. They gave her a 5. It came close to a 6, but they did go with the 5. So it will be a 6 overall, though. Beth will have improved her standing here during an HOH week, which I gotta say doesn't happen all that often.
Especially this season.
Yeah, kudos there to Beth. Let's talk about Brayden. Melissa, how do you feel about Brayden?
I feel really good about Brayden this week. I have to say, like, I know last week we basically said, look, if Brayden stays, this is going to be a big week for him. Like, we need to see what he's made of. He needs to see if he can get in with anyone and kind of find some footing for himself, because up until this point, it's just basically been him and Austin. And when that happens and somebody's biggest ally leaves, you know, the next week is crucial, because that's where you figure out if you're going to be a long-term contender or if you're just going to be the next boot. And I think that he's done a great job of integrating himself with everybody. I think that, you know, it seems like he's building good rapport with Ro, and making sure that those two are tight. It seems like he's building good rapport with Beth as well. And also, I mean, he's clearly building good rapport with Ty. So I feel like he's doing a good job and really integrating himself well. And I'm honestly impressed. So I'm going to put him up at a 6 as well.
There you go. Phil, how do you feel about Brayden?
I'm right there with you, Melissa. I think that Brayden, like, he was given the mastermind edit last night. Do I think Brayden's a mastermind? No, I don't think, like, you know, he's really pulling anything like exuberant off or anything. Really excellent. But I do think that Brayden is a very, very good social player. And because of that, I can see him still being able to make it in the long haul. I don't know if he can win at this point, but I wouldn't 100% count it out either, just because he's so good socially with everybody, with everybody. Like, I think for the most part, almost everybody. I think that for the most part, he's just done such a great job of, like, again, like, making Ty feel comfortable, just making Beth feel comfortable. And because of that, like, they both think they're better social players than they actually are. We'll get to Ty later. But I think, like, they're thinking, oh, wow, like, I'm good with Brayden. Like, I'm really getting him, even though I think Brayden is totally snowing them. And I think that's just really great on him. So I'm 100% a 6 on Brayden. The thing with Brayden is that he's still could be seen as someone who is easily disposable, just like someone who they could still kind of just throw away at like a final 6 or something like that, you know? But I think that if Brayden's able to have, he has a good consistency right now. And maybe when we get to that point, he's still that socially good that someone's going to want to keep him around just a little bit longer. So he's like a cockroach or something like that. He's really just sticking around. So I'm at a 6 for Brayden right now, and I'm excited to see what he does next.
There you go. The audience does agree with you guys. They gave Brayden a 6 as well. I don't know, maybe Amon did something to me, but I've felt very good about Brayden this week. I feel like he's so capable socially of convincing people that he's in with them. And I don't think he did this necessarily on purpose. I think that Austin just happened to leave at exactly the right time for him. And now he is, he's integrating himself with the triangle while maintaining his relationship with Ro, Tara, and Tina, still being willing to take the shot if he needs to. I think the biggest thing for me with Brayden is the fact that he has come pretty close to winning a competition in many of the previous, like, HOH. I think they've said that he's come in, like, third place in, like, a lot of the different HOHs that he's participated in. The fact that I think that Brayden could win competitions down the road, that I think is massive because I think he'll need to. So I actually gave Brayden a 7. I think that he is one of the two most well-positioned players in the house right now to sort of make it to an end game. If he can then win competitions, I think he's in a good place. And so for me, I've finally breached the sixes. We've gone into seven territory, and Brayden is one of them for me. Now, I say this with some trepidation, which is that this is very new. The Brayden thing is very new, and he could very well screw something up next week. Maybe this happened to be a good spot for him, and then next week it'll be different, and he'll mess things up, or things won't go as well. And this is kind of the start of his journey. This could very well fall, but for now, I just really liked how he managed this week. No, he wasn't the mastermind that caused all of the things to happen, but he was a very well greased cog in the wheel to make sure that this went smoothly. And I was impressed by it for sure. So, that's what I got for Brayden. Let's talk about Jed. Phil, how do you feel about Jed?
I do think that, the decision was made kind of easy for him because Ro won HOA. I mean, because Ro won the veto. So he kind of could only go one way. I don't know. Jed is a player who's definitely, he has a lot of power in the game. So because of that, I can't totally discount everything he's doing. But again, I think with Jed, Ty, and Brayden, Jed, Ty, and Beth, if they make it to the end for whatever reason, it's like not really their fault. They kind of made it to the end, like, in spite of themselves. You know what I mean? Because I think they keep on continually, like, overthinking everything and talking through everything. And I think because of that, no one really feels comfortable with them. And I also just think that, on Thursday, there's a really, really good chance Jed might be walking out if he doesn't win a competition. And so because of that, I'm going to stick with the 5 for Jed. I don't think he's doing that great of a job. But I also at the same time think he's still in a pretty, if he's able to make it past the double eviction, I think he's still in a pretty decent spot. And I think if all three of them are able to make it past the double eviction, then like, I think they could do a pretty good job just like running the table on the rest of the house. But I guess we'll have to see.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me because it's hard because I think I don't think he's playing that different than he played last week, but I think that the things that are happening around him are not good for him. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, number one, yeah, I'm nervous for him going into the double. I don't know what's going to happen, but he's a big target. He's high up there on people's lists. And number two, his biggest ally won HOH this week, and he's having something happen to his game. The end result is something that's bad for his game. I think that he should have figured out a way to keep Victoria around or keep Beth off the Victoria idea, and he's not doing that. So I think that it's, when you have your biggest ally as the HOH and you can't really influence their decision, or you don't even really try that hard to influence their decision, like, it's not great for you. So I think moving into this double, I think he's in a very precarious position, and that makes me nervous. If he survives the double, I think we could see a totally different rating. Everything could be great next week. Who knows? But I think that I'm nervous for him. And so because I'm so nervous for him, because I don't believe he's setting himself up in such a great way going into the double, I have to give him a 4.
Yeah, I'm with you too. My initial instinct was a five, especially because I started this week. When Beth initially won HOH, I was like, boom, this is making money for Ty mm-hmm. and Jed, because they are one double eviction away from running away with this game. And then just how things have played out has not been great for mm-hmm. either Jed or Ty, but even worse for Jed than Ty. And there are so many scenarios where Jed goes home on mm-hmm. Thursday. Because, as I said, it's seven people competing. Four of them are definitely putting up Jed and Ty, with Jed as the target. If he doesn't win the veto, he's gone. And then there's a fifth, Kiefer, who has talked about a plan to put Jed on the block as a pawn. As a pawn to backdoor row, which obviously, if that does not go to plan, then Jed is gone. And even if it did go to plan, there's a chance, like, what would happen, right? If Jed and Ro are on the block next to each other, there would be, five votes total, which means Tina, Tara, and Brayden could vote out Jed. Like, if he's still on the block next to Ro. So that's a terrible plan if you're trying to get Ro out. And it's definitely, because it's a double eviction, it could happen. So who knows? But I'm at a four this week. Now, I do want to say, if he does win that veto, he's still a big target because Beth is in the game. So he doesn't have the upside that Ty does. However, if they win the HOH, if him or Ty win the HOH and they manage to take out Ro, now they're looking a little bit better again, and they might start to get back into a swing where they start moving up again. But right now, there's just far too much danger with this double eviction looming. So I did have to go with four. And I will say as well, also, keeping Vic this week could be a good thing, but at this point, it could also be a terrible thing, because I could absolutely see Vic turning on him at this point. So who even knows at that what that would do?
I feel like the Vic thing is not a now you should keep Vic. It's like a you should have prevented this from going on in the first place if you're Jed and Ty. Like, I feel like this should not have been on Beth's list to get rid of Vic this week for Jed and Ty. I feel like, but at this point, the wheels are already turning. It's too risky, I think, to turn back now.
I'm inclined to agree, just because I can absolutely see Vic next week being like, I mean, you guys put me on the block. I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah. You guys were so quick to turn on me.
Yeah. Which is part of why they're thinking that they should evict her. But man, it's such a mess at this point. But the audience gave Jed a five. So he will be staying there at a five. Let's talk Kiefer. Kiefer's a tricky one for me because I feel like he, again, should be in a good spot. Similar to Beth, he should be riding very high. He's got the triangle working in his favor. He's got the pre-90s. And even Ro, who is his biggest enemy in the game, is not really gunning for Kiefer because he's gunning for Ty and Jed instead. But he's constantly screwing himself up. He's just constantly putting himself in positions to be called out. The triangle is talking about targeting him. They don't trust him. And his obsession with Ro is really holding him back, because him trying to target Ro, or having to target Ro before he does anything against the triangle, is putting him in a situation where his entire game is stalled, and he's putting himself in a spot where he may go up on the block next to one of those guys, or just be Ro's target after one of them leaves. So I'm still going to give him a six, and I feel, in some ways it feels generous, and in some ways it feels like he should be even higher, but I went with the six. Phil, you look surprised. Tell me why I'm wrong.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I think Kiefer is a player. He has this total row tunnel vision, and I wish he could just see, you know, the light out of the, I forget the the phrase, I'm sorry. But just like, I don't really know what I understand that, you know, he had drama with Roe in the past and that, you know, but he keeps on talking about Roe. He's not like he can't see the forest for the trees. That's what I was saying. That's what I was thinking. And I don't know. I'm pretty disappointed with Kiefer just because I think he's playing both sides, but he's not that great at it. Everyone kind of knows where he's at. Everyone kind of can see what he's doing. They know he's working with Tina and Tara. Jed, Ty, and Beth don't trust him as much as they used to. They're talking about targeting him. And so because of that, along with just like, I still don't think he's that great of a social player. His strategic play, he's all right strategically. But it seems like you need to be able to actually make the moves and have those bonds to be able to pull off the moves that you want. And I don't know. I'm going to give Kiefer, I'm in between a 4 and a 5. I'm sticking with the 5s, but I'm going to give Kiefer a 5, this week. Just because he didn't really do anything to impress me that this week. I'm going to stick with the 5 with Kiefer.
All right, Melissa.
I'm giving Kiefer a 5 as well. I just feel like I don't feel so confident about his abilities and or his position moving into this next week. I feel like he put himself in kind of a weird position with like kind of everybody. And the fact that people are recognizing that he's working with other people and is kind of playing everybody is not great. So, you know, this could change, but at this point, I just feel very just middling about Kiefer right now, and he could go up or down. So 5.
Yes. All right. Well, the audience agrees with you guys on this one. They gave him a 5 as well. Let's talk about Roe. Now, I guess I'll start with the audience here on Roe. The audience gave Roe a 5 as well. I just realized I started with Kiefer, but that's fine. But I did not give Roe a 5. I went with a 4 for Roe. And that is mostly because, similar to Jed, I just see the likelihood of him leaving in this double eviction is far too high. Mm-hmm. And similar to Jed, even if he survives the double eviction, it's still kind of an uphill battle to avoid being targeted again afterward. He's just clinging to life in this game, and he's mm-hmm. great at these vetoes, clearly. And if he wins out, great. But I just don't see a scenario where he doesn't have to win out. Let's look at best case scenario for Roe. He wins the double eviction HOH. He takes out, let's say, Jed or Ty, whichever one doesn't really. In fact, I think getting tired is probably even better for his game than not at this point. And then they go into the following week. Let's say Tina, Tara, when they take out Jed, and now it's the final 6, and it's Roe, Tina, Tara, Brayden, Kiefer, the other person, Beth. That's still a spot where Roe is the biggest target, and Tina, Tara, and Brayden even, I think, will all start to look at Roe and be like, Roe needs to go. He will need to win out, I think. He just doesn't have any solid, loyal allies. I think Brayden is, while he's working with Roe right now, I think it's out of necessity, and I do not think that he will stay true to Roe all the way down to the end, which means he will have to win out, which is a really tough road. But that means it's a 4 from me. Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that looking at it, Roe is just going to be a target for, I think, the rest of the game, just because even in his own alliance, like if they're for some reason, if we're able to take out boom, Jed, Ty, Beth, boom, 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 3-shot, then I still think they're going to look at, all right, who's next? We're going to take out Roe because Roe has been winning these vetoes. And because of that, he kind of has some kind of resume. And even if they take, like you were saying, they take out one person, one Jed or Ty in the double, the remainders of that trio alliance are still going to want to target Roe. I just don't really see a way forward for him. I also just think he's kind of cocky. I mean, he is cocky. Roe is a cocky guy. I think that thinks he's a way better player than he actually is, unfortunately. I mean, the cards he's been dealt haven't been great, and he's done a decent job like winning vetoes to save himself, but he actually hasn't done anything that masterfully strategically to actually keep himself. I'm at a 4 with Rove, just because I think he has a chance to survive the double, but I just don't really see a way 100% forward for him. He could win out, but I just don't know if that's actually possible.
All right. Well, let's then talk. Wait, no, have we done?
I have not done it.
Okay, Melissa, sorry.
That's okay. You can skip me. It's fine. No, mine's boring anyway. I'm just giving Ro 4 because I, same thing that I said about Jed, like I am nervous about Ro going into the double. And, you know, I think that he's in a precarious position. And I think like what you guys said, he's probably going to have to keep winning every week in order to stay at this point. And the fact that he keeps winning then works against him because then he's seen as a bigger threat. So I'm nervous for his chances. But you know, if he can survive this double and get out either Jed or Ty, I think he has a much better shot moving forward. So, you know, we'll just have to see.
We'll just have to see. All right. Now let's talk about Tara. Phil, what are your thoughts on Tara?
Yeah. I mean, this is not going to be surprising. This isn't going to be news to anyone. Tara, it really, from what we saw today, it's understandable, but Tara is someone who does crack under pressure. You know, she's constantly paranoid. She's someone who, you know, like a lot of house guests find her annoying. I know like Kiefer kind of finds her a little bit annoying. Like I unfortunately don't know if, Tara really has it in her to win the game. Tara's not going to win Big Brother 9, Big Brother Canada 9. It's not going to happen. And I do think that while her relationship
with Tina... Screen cap that, everybody, because if she wins, Phil's in trouble.
Tara's not going to win Big Brother Canada 9.
You know what? I feel a lot better about Phil's prediction than Amon's a couple of weeks ago, where he said that if Vic left in the week or the week after, that he would eat chapstick.
I love how he put that on himself. He could have just said, like, I don't believe she's going to leave. Instead, he's like, I will eat this chapstick. Dare me to do it. I'll do it. Should I do it now?
Anything's possible. We'll see. Listen, it's not over. It's not over yet. It probably is, but it's not over. But yeah, because of all that, I'm going to give Tara a 3 this week. I don't think that she hasn't done anything like really, really like terrible. But I just like make it her warrant anything less than that. But I just don't really see anything like that she has in her to really win the game or even kind of, if the only way she'd make it far is just as a goat, which I do think is very possible. But I don't see Tara doing well in this game. So I'm just sticking with a 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at a 3 for Tara as well. I'm in complete agreement. I think she's going to have such a hard time winning a jury vote, even if she does make it there. She could still go home this week as well. And she has screwed up so many times on the block this week. If she goes home this week, I'm entirely putting it down to her, constantly, you know, saying things like, well, I mean, I probably wouldn't put you up, Ty, and stuff like that. Like, honestly, even if she doesn't go home this week, just her path to win this game is just so cloudy. It's so hard to see exactly how she makes it happen. It's a 3 for me, and it almost feels generous, but you gotta account for a late game comp run or something that, you know, you never know. But Melissa, what do you think?
No, I'm on the same page with both of you guys. She's a 3 for me as well. It's possible she goes home this week. I mean, whether it's this eviction or the double, it's possible that she goes home. And even if she doesn't go home, I don't know if I see her winning either. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like, there's no clear shot and I don't know where she goes from here. So at this point, she's a 3. If she can find her footing a little better, or at least, I mean, honestly, even if she finds her footing, like, I don't see the strategy there necessarily to like do it right and actually pull through a win, because like the way she's played this week when she wasn't even the target. I mean, it's not great. So, you know, we'll just have to see. But at this point, yeah, she sticks as a three for me.
All right, let's talk about Tina. I've been down on Tina for a long time, mostly because I think that she's been consistently the safest player in the house. I would say, position wise, Tina has very consistently been the best position player in the house. Always the safest person every single week, the safest person. But I have been disappointed with her lack of agency in the game until this week, where I really was pleased with the amount of influence that she used to make sure this Vic plan happened. She was really a driving force behind it. She is playing actively. She's wanting to win the HOHs. Vic leaving is a very good thing for her, as long as it actually goes through. And it puts her in a position to really potentially win this game. I think that she's being included in many end game plans, mostly because people think that she's easy to beat in the end. But I really don't think that's true. Again, I think that the oddballers respect Tina and will respect Tina, especially once they learn that Tina had a whole thing going with the other side that they never knew about all game long. I think that maybe Beth, Ty, and Jed may not respect her, but if she wins a competition and takes a shot, I think they'll be like, well, damn, Tina is in that spot where people think they don't respect her, but they do respect her on a personal level. They like her on a personal level. And so all it takes is just a little push and they'll go, okay, I respect her in the game. That was great. And so I was impressed with Tina this week. I don't think anything is a done deal in this game, but Tina is going to be my other seven here for the week. I was definitely happy to see her playing the game more actively. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've definitely been more impressed with her this week and the way that she's kind of gotten this week to play out. Sorry.
Dogs are a big fan of Tina.
Yeah, the dogs love Tina. Anyway, really quickly, I'm giving her a six.
Okay. Phil, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Melissa on this one. I just spoiled my vote. I'm sorry. But yeah, I think that Tina is, you know, she is a great player. And like you were saying, like, she is the one who is most comfortable every week, no matter what, no matter who wins HOH. I'm like, all right, Tina's not going out this week. I do think that this might change soon, though, depending on after the double eviction. And because, you know, we're losing out on all the cannon fodder we once had. Tina's number is really, it's coming up. And so if Jed, Ty, and Beth, if they're able to, for some reason, survive the double eviction and, you know, take out Roe, I do think that Tina is a very, very likely, I mean, she is a likely target after that. And so because of that, it's something that is a little bit frightening. I don't know if that is going to happen. I guess we never know. But because of that, I can't be that confident with Tina's game. So I'm going to give her a six. Just because I think she's a good social player. And if she wins an HOH coming up soon, that'd be amazing. But I just don't know if that's going to happen. And because of that, I see her, you know, I don't know if she can, you know, make it to the end of the game and win. If she's becoming a target in Jed, Beth, and Ty's books. So we'll see. But I'm with a six for now.
I think I may have not read out Tara's audience score, but it was in fact a three if I didn't from the audience there for Tara. But with Tina, the audience is on my side on this one. They gave Tina a seven this week. So there it is for Tina. Let's talk about Ty. Melissa, how do you feel about Ty?
I got to say, I feel the same about Ty as I feel about Jed. I feel like they're, and Ro actually, like, I mean, they're all in a very precarious position going into the double. So I don't necessarily feel, and I also feel like they're not putting themselves in a good place. Like, I don't feel like they're doing themselves any favors this week to try and prepare for a double. Not that they know it's coming, but, you know, there has been some talk. So, you know, any, either way, they should be trying to put themselves in a good position going into the next week. So whatever. I do feel like Ty is making inroads, you know, with Brayden and trying to work that out. But at the same time, I don't think getting Vic out this week is good for his game. However, like at this point, the ball is kind of already rolling, and I don't know if Vic would necessarily be completely on his side if they did keep her. So I do think he's in a precarious position. And so I'm going to give him a 4 as well.
All right, Phil, how do you feel about Ty?
Ty is such an interesting player. He's such an interesting, he's in an interesting spot because, you know, normally he's someone who is this ultimate, you know, physical threat, comp beast, you know, guy. Oh, we got to take out Ty. We got to take out Ty. But that hasn't happened yet. You know, Ty is still like not won a competition. And, you know, the competitions coming up down the line are, they're going to be more, you know, memory based than they are going to be like, you know, brute physical strength comp. We still got a couple down the line, but I don't know. So Ty is someone who normally would be this big, big threat. And I do think that because Jed and Beth are kind of, you know, together, I do think that that sets up Jed as someone who is a target ahead of Ty. And especially because Jed won a veto in the past. So I do think that if Jed and Ty are on the block, Jed's going home, which I think it's kind of good for Ty. I'm not like that high on Ty to say like, oh, you know, he's totally running the table. He could totally win the game, because I do think that, again, his indecisiveness in the whole house has kind of just like kind of destroyed his own game. So I'm at a 5 for Ty.
All right. So I'm actually, Ty is such a weird one for me, because I think the biggest issue with Ty right now is the immediate danger that he's in because of his association with the triangle in the triple or in the double eviction. He will go up on the block next to Jed if they don't win. And if that happens, he should stay. But if Jed wins the veto, he's in a lot of danger, and Jed really could win that veto. I mean, it's especially if it's a typical double eviction veto, where he runs back and forth, like Jed is fast, man. And he has performed well in physical competitions. Ty has not performed well in physical competitions, or mental competitions. So that's concerning to Ty. However, if he survives Jed, I think he's in a pretty good spot. Because I don't know that many people would bother to go after the remnants of Ty if Jed is gone, because he, I think, can separate himself from Beth a little bit. If Beth has some goodwill for making the Vic move, Ty has some relationships going on with Brayden and with Kiefer. I think that he can reintegrate, and I think that he can get into a decent position. The problem is he's not in that position right now. I was honestly tempted to go to a 6, but I just think that the current position that he's in, the current danger that he's in, especially in a double eviction where he will not have time to push the target onto Beth or to Kiefer or whoever else. If Jed wins that veto, it's just straight up, he's done. I did have to go with the 5, which is also where the audience is on Ty this week, down from their 6 last week. So let's move on finally to Victoria. Let's talk about Victoria. Phil, how do you feel about Vic?
Oh, man, this might be the last time that, you know, in the stopwatch that, you know, we're able to talk about Victoria. You never know. You know, they might still flip back. I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm going to miss her. You know, Victoria is, you know, the girl who cried wolf. You know, she keeps on saying, you know, she keeps on telling different things to different people. And it's just the reach is a certain point where you just don't know. You just can't believe what she says anymore. So even if she's telling you the truth, she's lied to you so many times at this point that you just can't trust any word that comes out of her mouth, even if she's being totally 100% honest. And, you know, now we can clearly see that she totally misplayed last week. And I mean, not to be results oriented, but I do think that, you know, the proof is in the pudding that she could have taken out Jed Tyre Beth, and she would not be in this scenario that she's in right now. And so because of that, I'm going to give Victoria a 2. That might be a little bit low, but I just think that as a result of what happened last week and the way she's played this week, she's kind of just spun down this hole that she can't get out of. I don't know. I'm at a 2 for Victoria, unfortunately, as much as I love her and as much as I'm going to miss her. Yeah.
You know, I'm in an interesting place here with Victoria. She has absolutely put herself in the position that she's in, and she deserves to be where she is based on her previous gameplay. But I do respect the fight she is putting up here, and she's making a decent case. And I think that it's still not impossible for her to stay this week. And if she does, I genuinely think she still has a chance to win this game. I mean, I think that people would absolutely vote for her to win if she made it there. And I think that if Beth, Ty, and Jed vote to keep her, then nobody's going to target her. Not a single person will target her next week in the double eviction. Are Jed, Ty, and Beth really going to turn back around next week and do the same thing all over again with Vic? Maybe. But maybe they go after Kiefer or Tina and Tara at that point, because they know how much of a hassle it will be to take out Vic. They'll probably still go after Vic, but Vic will have an opportunity to win a competition and go after them. And so I have this sort of like notion that if Vic survives this week, I see her running into the end game and I see her with a real shot to win, because basically like all of the bad moves have gotten her to this place where she shouldn't be. She's really put herself in a seriously bad spot, and she should not be going out this week on Beth's HOH. But if she survives it, that means that all of that bad gameplay is in the past, and she's gotten through it, and all she needs to do is comp out. And so, I mean, all that to say, I like she's still in a worse position than like Ro after this week. But I gave her a 3 is what I'm saying. More than a 2. I think she's got a decent chance to stay. And I think she's been really fighting for it. So it's a 3 from me. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm same as for me as well. I would give her a 3 because, yes, she's not in a great place. Yes, she's on the block. Yes, she might go home. But I do think that she's putting in the work. She's trying. I appreciate that. And I also think that it's not far-fetched to say that she might stay, that she might convince them. It seems like the work that she's putting in is actually working. So, you know, I'm excited to see how the week plays out. I don't think she's dead in the water. And I think that if anyone can get themselves out of a situation like this in this season, it's Vic. So, you know, I could see her sticking around. I mean, who knows? I'm already hearing, you know, that the trio is talking about flipping again. So it's possible. Anything's really possible. So, yeah, she's a 3 for me.
I have a preview for the next, what is it going to be? 2 to 3 live feed updates. Vic campaigned today, and the triangle talked about whether they wanted to keep her or not, and it went in circles.
Yep, sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like, you know, because people are saying in the chat, at least, are saying that, you know, they're talking about flipping back. That's what they're always doing. I'm not going to really 100% buy that they're totally flipping this now, because that's what it's been all these.
Yeah, this is, I think, the 3rd or 4th time today. Yeah,
it means nothing. I still think that Victoria, I need some really hardcore solid evidence that Victoria is going home, and I just haven't seen that on the feed so far. Yeah. So I mean that Victoria is not going home. Sorry. Yeah,
it's very fair. The audience did go in on a 3 for Victoria as well. So those are the ratings this week for the Stockwatch. That's what we've got now before we we wait for the leaderboard to refresh here. We can move on to some of the extra questions in the survey that I sent out to the audience. I asked them to rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada this week. And this week, I believe this is the lowest rated week of the season thus far, a 5.6 on the episodes, which is a terrible rating considering how great the feeds have been.
Yes, I don't feel like they're doing a great job of portraying, you know, the way things are actually playing out. They have a lot of good material, but I don't necessarily feel like they're using it. So, yeah, I mean, this rating makes sense to me.
I wonder if a lot of it is just because, like, you know, Ty might not just be, he might not be giving them good stuff in the DR. So they, or, you know, I feel like a lot of, like, on the feeds, at least the last couple of weeks, you know, Jed, Beth, and Ty have totally been, like, you know, making a lot of the decisions, but we haven't seen that because they probably just are not giving that good information in the DR, which is unfortunate. And also, I guess it makes sense that now they have to kind of fabricate new stuff. Like, oh, we have to fabricate that Brayden is making this big move, or, you know, fabricate that this, that you, I, we're also just getting a lot of, like, like, mastermind confessionals and, like, here's what I'm doing. And I just don't know if that's 100% always the case. I just think that Ro gives good DRs at the end of the day. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I did ask how would you rate the feeds this week, and the feeds had a 7.4 rating, up from the 4.7 last week. So massive uptick here in the feeds, which absolutely the feeds have been great this week. This is the highest rating since the first week of feeds, which got an 8.5. Honestly, the first week of feeds was great. This week of feeds was also really great. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even necessarily say one is better than the other at this point. It's been good. Yep. I asked them how they would rate the season as a whole so far. Last week, it was down to a 7.1. This week, back up to a 7.3. So it seems to be settling around in this area. I definitely feel like the episodes are holding it back, though.
Yep. Definitely. All right.
So unfortunate, because I think this might be one of the best Big Brother Canada, see, at least so far. We'll see what happens, but so far it was last week was slow, but overall I think they've been doing such a great job. So I just hope the episodes are able to, like, pick up as we go down the line.
I agree. I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. Melissa, our resident favorite psychic that still gets them wrong sometimes.
Don't bring that part up.
Is at the top of the favorite player rankings?
Oh, it's hard this week because I do also feel like I have a different perspective on my favorites than others. So, Phil, what do you think? Let me throw it to Phil for a quick second while I consult my mind.
The favorite?
Favorite player by the audience.
But the audience is Tina, right? I think the audience's favorite player is Tina. Am I right? Or no, wait, no, Victoria. What am I? No, Tina. Sorry, I'm going back to Tina.
It could be Brayden. But I'm also seeing a lot of row stands. But I feel like Brayden's done a really good job this week, and maybe people like that, but people always love Tina. So I might just say Tina just because that seems to be, like, a standard answer, and maybe it'll still be standard because she is doing a good job this week.
Let's you say are Tina. Both incorrect.
What?
It's Brayden.
But see, I did say that. So,
by the smallest of margins, it might as well be a tie with second place. Who do we think second place is?
Tina.
Now you're having me second guess everything. But yeah, I think Tina.
You are both incorrect.
Oh, my God.
I meant to say Ro.
Ro is correct.
That's Brayden, what I meant to say.
Brayden and Ro are the top two, basically tied for first. They are 100th.
My weight blanks are all messed up.
100th of a point away. Number three.
Tina.
No, now I'm convinced it's not Tina. I'm convinced it's Victoria.
You are both incorrect.
Oh, I meant Ty. God. I meant Ty.
It is tie in third place. Oh, see,
that's the thing, is that I'm always right. It's just that it's just the second one.
Right.
So, you know, that's
I'm having way too much fun with this. So let's go for number four. Who is in fourth place?
Oh, my God. All right.
Tina.
This one's got to be Tina, right?
You are both correct. Finally, it is.
All right. Okay. We did it.
Jeez.
The next one, Victoria?
Yes. Then it's Victoria.
Yeah. Then Beth.
No, but you're close.
Then I meant Jed.
It's Jed, then Beth.
Right. That's exactly what I said.
Then,
so, yeah.
Then Kiefer, then Tara.
Oh, man, I'm so good at this.
Basically psychic.
Basically. Like if I just say the second answer instead of just saying the first answer, like, see, that's all I really need to do is just not say the first answer and then only say the second answer.
Melissa, no, because then the first answer is technically the second answer. So I don't know. It might be, you might have to double think that. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. I was just working out the kinks, you know.
Yeah. I feel you.
This is a massive boost, though, for Brayden and Ro, who were fifth and sixth place, respectively, last week. And have both boosted up to first place this week. So
they're doing a good job this week.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job on the show, too. I think that also probably plays a big part of it. Just like in terms of the actual TV show, they're both just giving you great DRs. So,
All right. I asked the audience, who is the best person for Beth to have targeted for her game? And overwhelmingly, everyone agrees it is Victoria. Victoria with 80% of the vote. It sounds like we have an updated leaderboard, so let's hop over to the leaderboard here to get some updated scores. And I think that not much has changed here at the top, at least. I am still in it's a five-way tie for first here. I did go in on Tina this week. Melissa, what did you do?
I don't remember what I did, but I'll tell you this. I'm not going to make the safe choice, which is going in on Tina, because I'm not going to do that. I played dangerously with my stocks.
Yes.
So there you go.
Went in on, Brayden, Jed, Kiefer, and Ty.
Am I still the worst Melissa? I can't see it on that thing. It's so small.
You are, in fact, still the worst Melissa, yes.
Darn it. How did I not increase at all?
You are about $60 away from the closest Melissa.
What's my number?
1,895. You're in the top 100%.
Not great. Not a great showing in Melissaville over here. But what did I do? I bought Brayden?
Let's look here. So last week you were in on Austin, Brayden, and Tara.
Did I go increase at least?
Looks like you sold. Yes, you did. You did make $25.
Well, there you go.
Which is about $5 more than you would have made if you did nothing. You kept your Brayden shares. You sold your Tara and Austin. And you bought Jed, Kiefer, and Ty, who I think all just stayed the same.
Don't love it. But you know what? It's all about moving up. And that's what I'm doing. So slowly but surely.
Moving up.
I will overtake number one.
Phil, are you in here?
Yeah, I'm in here. I've been getting coached by Mari Forth. Mari has been teaching me and Chappelle everything about the stock watch. I've been holding on Brayden. That's been my thing. I've been really, although I might have, I don't know if I put mine in last week, but yeah, I've been holding on Brayden, but I don't think I've been doing that good of a job.
Well, Brayden was a great buy this week. So it looks like you've made some money here for sure. You've gone up 200 places. Last week, holding on Brayden was that hurt you a bit. So, but you've made it back. You made a little bit of it back here.
Let's go. That's my dog. We'll see. Maybe not.
There you go. All right. Let's move back over to finish off these questions. I asked, who do you want to be evicted this week? This is a very close vote. With 51% of the vote, the audience would like for Vic to go home this week. Only 49% want Tara to go home this week. I have to imagine this is mostly for the balance sake of the game, and the sort of like the follow through on this move that is making this was kind of surprising.
Yeah, it is interesting that isn't Terra the least favorite in the ranking, and it's still people are like, no, but we want her to stay. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it's more that they want Vic to go. I think they want the move to happen.
I started the podcast with saying this, but it's the truth. I'm torn. I want Vic to stay, but I want the move to happen. And because I do think that more interesting things can come from that move being made. But do we really want to lose Vic this week? I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to answer that in the survey. So.
All right. Well, I also asked, who do you want to win HOH next week? And for like the 11th week or 5th week, because we've been doing it 5 times, Ro with 60% of the vote.
The people want a Ro HOH.
They want it so bad.
They've wanted it for so long. And he's like, no, just a veto.
Yeah.
No, I want to put myself in danger and then win a veto to save myself every week, just to put you guys in suspense.
Mm. He's playing the long game. You know what I mean? Just keeping them waiting, you know?
Exactly.
All right. Finally, I added this question. Who do you think will be evicted in the double eviction? 42% say Jed, 21% say Ro. And then 10% each on Terra and Ty. We've got 6% in on Kiefer, 4% on Beth, then 2% on Vic, 1% on Brayden, and basically not a single soul chose Tina.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. I feel like a lot of the times going into a double, we have like at least like one person who were like, okay, this person is the most likely to go home. Like the odds are this person's leaving, and we already know that. So it's interesting going into it with it kind of spread like that. I mean, at the very least, we have three contenders right there at the top that might leave in the double. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens, and it really could go either way.
Yeah, I would just love to see like a Jed and Ty. Like if they do get put up, I just love to see a showdown, like a total veto showdown where it's just one of them is going to win. We have to figure out who, like they have to duke it out because they know one of them is going to go home. I feel like that'd be amazing. But yeah, I do think the house consensus is going to be Jed. But if one of the three win HOH, then I don't know, might be bad news for Ro, but he's the veto king, so we'll see.
Also, I find it interesting that normally we have like a lot of talk for the double eviction, and we have like total preparation because they like have sussed out that, okay, this week is the double eviction. For I have no idea how they do that, but they always seem to figure it out. And they're always like, okay, this is the double eviction, this is the plan. And so we kind of go into it knowing the plan, but I do feel like this season it's a little different. I feel like I don't know if they know what they're gonna do for the double. I feel like there's like a little bit of talk just generally, like, okay, there might be a double coming up, but I don't feel like there's like solid, like, this week's the double, we need to be prepared, what are we gonna do, what's the plan? Like I haven't really seen that. Maybe I've just missed the conversation, but I feel like it's very different going into this double.
We're just going to have to see where we go here. Again, for all we know, Vic could end up staying this week. Mm-hmm. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility. Although, you know, it's hard to know for sure. Because, again, they need Kiefer. And I don't even know if it's possible to get Kiefer. I still don't know that for sure. He keeps telling them he's willing to go with them if they choose to go in that direction. But I don't know if he's actually telling the truth or if he's just trying to pretend because he sees that Beth is still on board. And I don't know if Beth is truly willing to go back on it or if she's just giving it lip service and trying to make Terra nervous. I expect that we're going to continue to see the back and forth all week long. If I had to guess, I would say that Vic will be leaving this week. But I said this even before Vic went up. She has a good case. Like there's a very logical argument to keep her in the game, and the path is there. So I would not count anything out just yet, but we are definitely looking at an exciting road to a potentially exciting double eviction. So that's what we've got this week. Melissa, any final thoughts on the week?
You know, it's been a really exciting week. I honestly don't really know how it's going to play out. Like you said, I think that the most likely scenario is Vic goes home, but we really don't know. So I'm really looking forward to Thursday. Double evictions are always great. It's always so thrilling. Like my heart just beats so fast and I like stand up and I pace around the room. So I'm very excited, to watch it, but you know, we'll have to see. So far, the season's been giving us what we want. So I've been enjoying it.
All right, Phil, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just super excited for the double eviction, not just for the actual event of the double eviction, but just because after when that's done, you know, there's seven players left in the game and there's so little wiggle room to really hide at this point. And, you know, now the players are all going to really start to fight for themselves. It's crazy to me that, you know, we're going to go into week six and we have seven players left. And, you know, usually in like a regular, like, you know, US season, we don't get that final seven until, you know, it's September or something like that. That's not a good comparison since this is Canada, but you know what I mean? This is happening like in the midpoint of the game, which means we're going to see some really, really exciting gameplay. And so if what happened this week is any proof of what's going to happen for the rest of the game, I'm hella excited. This is going to be a blast and I'm excited to talk about it with you guys.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well,
and one more thing, I do want to say that this is one of the few seasons that I've watched in a long time where I haven't been like rooting for anyone in particular. And not that I'm not rooting for anyone, but it's more like I'm rooting for everyone. I feel like I like the different sides equally. Like I don't have like a situation where I'm like, oh, these people have to go. They're so bad. We need to keep these guys in. It's not like that for me this season. And I find that it's interesting because every week it changes for me who I want to go home and like whoever's on the block. I'm like, okay, I think this person should go home, but it could be this person and either one, like who knows? And so it's been a very different viewing experience for me because usually I'm very solid on like, I'm rooting for this side and whatever's good for them, I want that to happen. But in this situation, I'm having a good time just kind of rooting for individuals, like, but all like, and rooting for game moves and being like, okay, this is a good game move for Beth. So I want this to happen for Beth, but I don't want it to happen for Vic because I like Vic and want her to stay, but it makes sense. You know, it kind of, that's why I've been going back and forth on everything. So it's very exciting. And I feel like it just is a very different experience than usual. And it's been very enjoyable.
Yeah. I think that part of it is that like people are just taking turns as underdogs, right? Like,
yeah, see, I think that's probably what it is.
Solid underdogs. And so definitely the fan base has been, I mean, look at the favorite player rankings, right? Like, like week one, you had Tina, Vic, Ty, and you do have like similar people. Like, then it was Tina, Brayden, Ty. Then it was, Ty, Tina, Vic. Maybe it's pretty similar all the way through here. But now Ro and Brayden are at the top, mm-hmm. and Tina and Ty have dropped a little bit. Vic has dropped a little more. And it's really about like the sides have been like, well, first it was the Sunsetters were the big, dominant alliance, but people liked them, but they were the dominant alliance. And if they'd stayed mm-hmm. dominant, they probably would have been disliked. But then it flipped to the Oddballs. Then they were the dominant mm-hmm. alliance, but they were the previous underdogs. People were liking the Oddballs and they were against the Sunsetters. But then the Oddballs disintegrated. And then they became the underdogs. Now Ro and Brayden are the underdogs.
Yeah, it's
and
literally like,
it's all over the place. People don't know who their undercats are. And they're just kind of maybe watching a little more similarly to how I normally would watch it.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, honestly, it's very, I've never watched this way, really. Like, this does feel like more of like a Taran way to watch where it's like, oh, I like this move or like this strategy or something. Whereas normally I don't watch that way. So I do feel like it has to do with the underdog undercat thing, you know, because I always do find myself rooting for the underdog. And the fact that we like don't have a set underdog this season has made it more fun because you can root for more people and you can root for just the gameplay. And not to mention the fact that the people in the house are just like nice people. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have any reason to like hate anyone or anything like that. Like it's a lot of just like, I'm just watching them play the game and I'm enjoying the gameplay and I'm enjoying the strategy and I'm enjoying the people and the conversations, but I'm not like, I need this person out because I hate them or because they were so mean or awful or whatever. Like, we're not really having that. And it makes it a very different viewing experience.
And they all want to be here. You know, like we saw in the house fight today when they questioned Tara, like even someone like Tara, who in another season would totally just, I could see as a player who's just kind of like coasting along, like, you know, I don't care. And they questioned like Tara wanting to be there. And she really, really, she fought for herself because she, everyone in the house really wants to play. They want to work hard and they want to win the game. And I think that's just, it's, you know, it's very rare that we see that in a Big Brother season where like we're down to this final eight or final nine. And sorry, Victoria. and that everyone really wants to play and everyone wants to be there. And it's just, it's makes it so much more engaging to watch because anyone can really win. You know, right. most people can win, you know,
and you don't have like the Instagram follower people, you know. I feel like it's like we usually at least get a few like people in the house that are only there for Instagram followers. They don't care about the game at all. And we're not getting that. I think the casting was really great this season and I'm very impressed with it. And I hope that it carries over, you know, to the next season for Big Brother US. I really am hopeful that we get more casts like this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this week's roundtable. You can find me back here at 11 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning, where I will be going over the house meeting that went down earlier today. Should be a lot of fun, along with all of the other stuff that's happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Tomorrow night, we'll be live recapping the Wednesday night episode of the show, which hopefully is a little more accurate than Monday's. then, of course, Thursday night, we'll be back to recap the double eviction of Big Brother Canada 9. Should be very fun. And then on Saturday, the finale of The Circle UK, we'll be wrapping up the season there. So that'll be fun as well. What a fun season that has been. And you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, playing Fall Guys, playing Among Us and just talking about things and life and Big Brother. And so come find me there. Phil, where can people find you?
You can follow me on twitter.com/listenupphillip. It's for tweeting sometimes. And you can follow me on letterboxd.com/PNTJR, where I'm always just writing movie reviews and just writing about life and the stuff that I'm watching and the stuff that I'm engaging with. I just watched Godzilla versus Kong. That was a blast just to see these two behemoths just duke it out. I don't know. It's stupid. It was so stupid, but it's a lot of fun. And yeah, that's what I'm up to.
All right, Melissa.
You can find me on all social media at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And that's that.
That is that. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. And we'll see all of you next time.